We're turning in our Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18 and reading verses 41 to 46. And just before we read the Bible, let us ask the Lord to bless that reading and also the preaching of his word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for our Bibles. We thank thee for the liberty and freedom that we enjoy to come to church and to open the scriptures and to read it and to preach the word. And our Father, we ask of thee that we might always cherish this great heritage which is ours. And our Father, we pray that now as we read the Scriptures, thou wilt open our eyes, that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law. And O God, open our hearts to the preaching of thy word. And may we go away from this house today, having been blessed of thyself. Again, we thank thee for saving precious souls and those who have been saved even during this past week since last Lord's Day. Lord, bless them, undertake for them, and lead them on with thyself. We thank thee for them, and we ask, our God, that the work of grace might be real in their hearts. And now, our Father, continue ministering to us by the Holy Ghost, and bless us and do us good. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 41 of 1 Kings chapter 18. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Amen. God always adds his own blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word. In verse 42, we read the words, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. I want to speak this morning about persevering prayer. As we continue in our studies on the Sabbath morning in Elijah, I trust that God will bless his truth and challenge every one of us afresh from the Bible. This verse sets forth some important lessons which God's people do well to take to heart. The principle of which is the importance for communion with God by God's people. the importance of prayer, the importance of persistence and persevering in prayer. In this passage of Scripture, which is now before us, there is a most blessed and important instruction for every child of God, for ministers of the gospel, for workers in the Church of Jesus Christ, and for every true believer. There's important instruction. There's a message from God for you. Once again, we could say it has pleased the Holy Ghost to let us into the secrets, as it were, of prevailing and persevering prayer. It may be that the verses here before us do not actually state that Elijah prayed, and while it doesn't actually use the term, we gather from the context and by comparing Scripture with Scripture in other places that there is no doubt that Elijah prayed as he bowed towards the ground and put his head between his knees. It was for the purpose of seeking God, praying that God might move in answer to prayer and send the rain and end the drought and bring blessing to the nation of Israel. In James chapter 5 and verses 17 and 18, we are told Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly, notice the words, that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And now notice, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. This latter verse from James 5 clearly has reference to the incident that we're considering here and that we're thinking about just now. And as truly as the heavens were closed in response to Elijah's prayer, so the heavens were also opened in answer to his supplications and his prayers. And therefore, we have before us once more the conditions which must be met if our prayers are to be effectual. And we emphasize again the fact that what is recorded in the Old Testament passages is written for our instruction and for our learning. And oftentimes, Old Testament passages of Scripture are taken up by New Testament writers, and they base their remarks and their teaching on the teachings of the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, as well as the New, the believer learns the importance of prayer. The believer is instructed and exhorted to pray. And truly here we have a tremendous example in Elijah, a man who prayed earnestly. Here in 1 Kings chapter 18, and in the earlier part of the chapter, verses 36 and 37, we learned how Elijah prayed in public. You read those two verses, and you learn how Elijah prayed in public. What praying that was in public on the mount called Carmel. And then, in these verses before us just now, we learn how he prevailed in private prayer, because he has removed himself from the great crowd, and he climbs up alone, and he's with God alone. Elijah was a mighty man in public prayer, and he was a mighty man in private prayer. And what an example for the Church of Jesus Christ today. What an example for believers today, for ministers of the gospel, for all of us to emulate. Let us look at this man, and we see him praying in public, laying hold upon God, God answering his prayer. We see him in private, taking time to commune with God in heaven, pleading that God would send the showers of blessing, that God would open the heavens, and God would send a deluge, end the drought, and turn Israel into a garden that blossoms once again. That's the great need of the church today, isn't it? The great need of God's people, that God would open the heavens and that he would rain down the showers of blessing upon his church, upon his people, and that there might be revival. Oh, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people might rejoice in thee? And we need to lay hold upon God as Elijah did. I wonder, are you anxious today, concerned about how you conduct your prayer life, both in public and in private? I wonder, is there concern in your heart and your soul when you compare yourself with Elijah and when you learn the scriptures afresh? Is there not a concern amongst God's people today about how they conduct their private and public times of prayer? Is it conducted in a manner that is acceptable to God? Is it conducted in a way that is a blessing to your own life and a blessing to the Church of Jesus Christ and a blessing to the people who have gone out from us and are serving the Lord in the foreign fields of the world? I tell you, is the habit and the manner in which you conduct your prayer life pleasing to God? Or is there a concern today? Is there a burden upon your heart that is not what it should be? It's not what it used to be. It's not how the scriptures exhort it to be. Oh, may it be that God will produce in you today and in me as well, even a response to the challenge of his precious and holy word. And therefore, we must attend diligently to the word of God. We must listen carefully to God's truth, and we must follow the details and the instructions that God gives to us in his word concerning this all-important aspect of our Christian living. You'll notice in the first place that this man of God, Elijah, he withdrew from the crowds and went up to the top of Carmel. If he would hold an audience with the God of heaven, with, as it were, the majesty on high, then he must separate himself on this occasion and withdraw from the crowds. My, what a challenge that is for us. How we need to listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Among the very first teachings of the Savior concerning the subject of prayer were given in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 to 7. And in Matthew 6 and verse 6, he's speaking about this subject. He's dealing with this matter. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly." Is there separation in your life concerning the matter of prayer? separation from godlessness, separation from the world, shutting yourself away from all that's godless and worldly, out of all the sounds and sights of this world, taking your mind and setting it upon the things which are above, and concentrating on those things which belong to the Lord, shutting the door of the closet denotes something more than just physical isolation. It signifies even a collecting of our spirit, of our mind and our soul, and gathering all our wandering thoughts and bringing them into captivity to Christ and to His Word, and allowing ourselves to be subjugated by our heavenly God and by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Submission at His feet, surrender by doing His will, saying, "Not my will, but thine be done." My dear friends, this morning, I wonder, is there that submission at the feet of the Blessed Master? Here is Elijah taking himself away from all the excitement that had just taken place on the Mount Carmel, taking himself away from all the people who helped him to slay the prophets of Baal, taking himself away from the scene of Kishon and all that that meant. And that was a real triumphal experience for Elijah. What a tremendous scene it was on Mount Carmel when the fire fell, when the sacrifice was consumed, and when the Lord was pronounced to be God in Israel, and when the people accepted it, and when Baal worship was put to naught, and the prophets of Baal were slain. My, that there was no greater transaction ever in the face of the people in Israel's entire history. My dear friend, what a historical event. What an achievement by God's man, enabled to do it by God's strength. And here he withdraws himself, and away from all the clamor and the soundings and the talkings of others and the whisperings and the conversations of men, Elijah still is depending on God in spite of what had just taken place. He recognizes his absolute and continual dependence on God. And if the rain is now to come following the slaying of the prophets of Baal, following the fire, then now must come the rain. He prayed for fire. And we learned in the earlier verses of chapter 18 how he prayed publicly for the fire to fall, and it did come. Now he's praying privately for the rain to come, for the showers of blessing. He's praying for God to open the heavens and to send down the rains that would end the drought of the nation. My friends, today, what a scene this is. What a challenge to you and to me. Let us not neglect the place both in private and in public as we seek the Lord in prayer. Let us be faithful in our attendance upon the public means of grace, that is, the preaching of the Word of God, the attendance at the Lord's table, and the place of public prayer. And let us be faithful in these matters. God expects His people to be faithful, and He expects His people to submit to the ordinances of His Word, and He expects His people to say yes to all His commands, to be obedient unto Him. And so in these matters, they are important in the Church of Jesus Christ. A Church of Jesus Christ cannot function properly without these proper ordinances being observed, and without God's people taking them seriously and observing them and going through with them. It's not just enough to leave it to others. We all must participate. We all must cooperate. We all must be part of it. And by being part of it, then we will all know the united blessing that God will give as a result. And so we have here this great man of God praying publicly and privately. And he prayed earnestly. Notice his posture in prayer. It says in verse 42, he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. He cast himself down upon the earth and he put his face between his knees. Here is a man earnestly praying. His very posture suggests and is significant that he's earnest about the matter. He's not toying, he's not playing, he's not pretending. He's a man in earnest. Elijah bowed down on the ground to the extent that his forehead touched the ground. Can you imagine the scene? And his face looked back towards his knees. That's the posture that Elijah took. This position is the old position of great sorrow and of great prostration and of great agony before God. In Old Testament times, this is how men showed that they were prostrate before the Lord. They put their heads down, their forehead touched the ground, and they were looking back, and if they opened their eyes, they could see their knees. My friend, what a humble position. Humbling himself in the very dust before the Lord. Saying to God, I'm nothing, Lord. I'm depending on God in heaven. I cannot do this. I can't bring the rain. No more than I could send the fire. But Lord, I'm praying in prostration, in humility. I'm praying in repentance of all my sin and confessing all my weakness, Lord. And I'm in this position and I'm here depending entirely upon the God of heaven. And my dear friend, what a position he took up here. You'll notice Elijah's position here in the presence of God. He is a man of humility. He is a man of brokenness. This man's heart would have melted. God answered his prayer, burning the sacrifice and sending the fire, but that's not all. We need the rain now. Lord, you promised to send the rain. Since the Lord had promised to send the rain, did Elijah have then any necessity to pray, since God had made the promise? Of course he had. The promise of God's word that he would send the rain only encouraged Elijah to prayer, encouraged him to seek the Lord, encouraged him to depend upon God. And my friend, we thank God for every promise in the book. Every promise in relation to prayer, it encourages us to take time to wait upon God, publicly, privately, wherever it might be. May we be encouraged to cast ourselves at the Savior's feet. Think of Abraham. When he prayed in Genesis 18 and verse 27, he declared, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. He too took that position of humility. Daniel beheld the anticipation of the Lord and declared, my comeliness was turned in me into corruption. He saw himself as corrupt, unworthy. The seraphim in Isaiah chapter 6, they veiled their faces. in the presence of God. They recognized their unworthiness to come before him. And my friend, Elijah here is a good example of such humility. We're unworthy to come before God, but we're accepted in the Beloved. We're made worthy through the finished work of Christ, through the blood of his cross. By nature, we have sinned and we are sinners. We're filled with iniquity and sinfulness. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has made atonement for our sin, cleansed us from our sin, washed us from our sin, and by that new and living way consecrated for us by the blood of Christ, we have entrance, we have access into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in this great hope of the glory of God. Thank God for the way into God's presence. We plead the merits of the blood. We plead the merits of Christ. We have no other argument. We want no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and he died for me. Yes, we notice the posture of Elijah, but you will also notice in this prayer of Elijah's that it was based upon a divine promise. When commanding his servant to appear before Ahab, the Lord had expressly declared to Elijah, he says, I will send rain upon the earth. Look at verse 1 of chapter 18. And as we have said, why then should he now be found earnestly begging at the throne of grace? If you turn to Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 24 through to verse 36 of that chapter, you will find a whole string of promises there that God made to Israel, a long string of them. And yet, in the immediate connection with those verses, in verse 37, the one that follows, God says, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. And so while God has made the promise, God expects his people still to inquire of him, still to take time to wait upon him, knowing with assurance that in answer to prayer and on the authority of the word of God, the answer will come. That gives us a tremendous assurance and gives us great confidence in prayer. And when we bow in prayer before the Lord, plead the promises of the book, plead the blood of the Lamb, plead the merits of Christ, and God, our Heavenly Father, is pleased on such pleading to answer prayer and to give the answer. The asking for those things which God has promised, we come to him thanking him for the promise that he will give it. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. You'll notice he was definite in his prayer. The verse says the context would say to us, he prayed for rain. Just like Zechariah chapter 10 and verse 1, the scripture says, ask ye of the Lord rain. That's what God said through the prophet Zechariah. Elijah's doing that here. He's asking for something very definite. He's not generalizing. He's particular. There is a need before him, and he's not beating around the bush. He's not traveling the world to get to the point. He is very particular, very definite, and he recognizes the pressing need for Israel, and he's praying for rain. James tells us that in the New Testament. He prayed for rain. That's what he prayed for. Up the hill of Carmel, he prayed for rain. My dear friend, when we come to the Lord, let's not be afraid to be specific in our requests. Let us not be afraid to be definite, to be particular. And let us come before him and leave that definite and particular request before him. And God will answer prayer. Sometimes we multiply words to no effect. God knows the need. God knows how to give the answer. And God will send the answer. You'll notice in Luke chapter 11 and verse 5, when the disciples asked the Lord Jesus Christ to teach them how to pray, he said, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. You notice that friend just didn't say food. "You wouldn't lend me a basket of food. You wouldn't lend me a hamper." No, but he was specific. He said, "Would you lend me 3 loaves? And that's what he needed. And he got us 3 loaves. And how we need to come before the Lord with our particular needs and ask the Lord, and God will grant our request. You'll notice again, his prayer was fervent. James 5, verse 17 says he prayed earnestly. Here it was a man who was praying earnestly. We don't read he was shouting and screaming like the prophets of Baal. The false prophets of Baal shouted and screamed on Mount Carmel and cut themselves with lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And they did all sorts of foolish and silly things. Here's a man who's praying earnestly and fervently, and God grants his request. Hebrews 5, verse 7 speaks about our blessed Redeemer, and it says, "He offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears." While our prayers have not to be cold, while our prayers have got to have passion in them, got to have feeling in them, let us pray for those things which God wants to give to us. The effectual fervent prayer, we're told, of a righteous man availeth much. You'll notice there was watchfulness in his prayer. He said to his servant in verse 43, "Go up now and look toward the sea. Go up and look toward the sea." And while Elijah was praying, he was watching. He was waiting for the answer. And we must be on the lookout for the answer too as we pray. We must be watching to heaven, watching toward the Lord, taking tokens for good as promises that God's going to answer prayer. The psalmist we were singing about this morning in Psalm 40, he said, "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait. And I waited patiently, and at length he heard my cry, and he inclined his ear, and he lifted me up out of the horrible pit." In another psalm, in Psalm 135, the psalmist said, "I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope." And he goes on to say, "My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning." Thank God for the psalmist. In his waiting upon the Lord, he waited for the Lord and upon God's word. And God heard his prayer, and God answered him. He waited upon God more than he waited for the morning. You know how it is during the night if you can't sleep? Maybe last night was one of those nights with the humidity and the thunder and the lightning. And maybe some of you were scared. And you couldn't wait for the morning light, anxious for it to come. I know folks who hide underneath the stairs when the thunder and lightning comes. Some of my own family relations up across the border do that. And I remember years ago when I lived at home, we were all gathered like a mother hen gathering her chickens under her wings underneath the stairs in a thunderstorm. And that's where we hid until it was over. And so sometimes that's the case. But thank God, God gathers his people under his wing. And when he gathers us together for prayer, he makes promises that he will answer prayer. And even the storms we're passing through will pass over. And the things we long to have for the kingdom of God that God has burdened us for, He'll send those. And as we pray for one another and for the Church of Jesus Christ and for our missionaries and for the good of God's work, God has been pleased. He has promised to answer prayer. And may it be that God will answer your prayers. Maybe you're praying for a loved one, a son or a daughter, a father, a mother, a neighbor perhaps. And you're praying that God will enter that life and save and transform that life. Don't give up. God has promised household salvation. And God has promised to save all who shall call upon His name. And thank God, whosoever shall call upon His name shall be saved. Let us believe the word and believe the scriptures. And just as it was in the Philippian jailer, he believed that night and his household. And praise God, we too can have household salvation. Let us continue to pray in private and in public for our families and our loved ones, for the work of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, for the great needs of our country. God answers prayer. Let us take heart and let us redouble our efforts and rededicate ourselves to the place of prayer. And last of all, you'll notice Elijah's perseverance in his supplication. This is the most noticeable feature, perhaps, about the whole transaction here. It is one which we need to particularly take heed to, because it is here that very often God's people fail. They don't persevere in prayer. Look at what it says. He said to his servant, "Go up now and look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." Nothing. How often would you be put off if there was nothing in answer to prayer? Let me put it this way. How often have you already been put off in the past when there was no answer to prayer? Elijah's servant went up, looked towards the Mediterranean to see if there's any sign of a rain coming. And he comes back to Elijah and he says, "There's nothing. Nothing, Elijah. Nothing. Nothing in the sky, Elijah. Nothing arising out of the sea to intimate that rain is coming. There's nothing." What a discouraging messenger his servant was, or could have been. But what does Elijah do? He says, "Go 7 times. Don't give up, servant. Persevere. I'm going to pray, and you keep going and looking out toward the sea, and I'll pray and seek the Lord." And for 6 times he went, and there was still nothing. If you prayed for 6 times about something and you got no answer, would you give up? We have to keep on praying. We have seen answers to prayer after years of praying. We've seen answers to prayer after scores of years of praying. Zacharias, in the first chapter of Luke's Gospel, prayed for 40 years. And God said to him eventually, "Zechariah, thy prayer is heard." Imagine, after 40 years. Men have been prayed for 40 years. Thank God they got saved. Let us keep on praying and persevering in prayer. He went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." But like Jacob, Elijah wasn't going to let go. In Genesis 32, Jacob said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." And I've already mentioned the psalmist in Psalm 40. The psalmist prayed, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and at length, at last," we would say, "he heard my prayer." And Elijah said to his servant, "Go again 7 times. Go again 7 times. And the Bible speaks of persevering in prayer. And in Isaiah 62, verse 7, God Himself says, "Give me no rest." And my friend, we need not give God any rest. We should keep on praying and knocking on the door of heaven. And in Isaiah 30, verse 18, "Therefore, the Bible says, will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you?" And God's delays are never his denials. It's in order to show himself gracious and patient with his people and to teach them to persevere in waiting upon him. We think of how the Lord Jesus Christ said to one in the New Testament, "Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt." Thank God, Elijah had great faith, and he failed not. And we're told in verse 44, "Came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." Here was a man's hand being lifted to God in prayer, Elijah on Mount Carmel. In answer to his prayer, God sends a cloud the size of a man's hand out of the sea from the direction of the Mediterranean. And it was an indication that rain was about to come. And if you look at the passage again, you'll read in verse 45, "It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain." I'm sure Elijah and his servants wouldn't mind it getting wet on this occasion, being drenched in the storm of rain. And there was a great rain. My dear friend, this great rain means abundance of rain. It means a deluge. Just like what happened in the days of Noah, when God sent a great rain and the earth was covered with water. The heavens opened. God sent an answer to Elijah's prayers. The answer to the drought and that which ended the drought. And praise God, the people of Israel turned from Baalism, from falsehood, from all the darkness of the worship of Jezebel and Ahab. And the nation at that time turned back to God and worshiped Jehovah. And God bless them. My dear friends, thank God, in answer to prayer, God is still able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Let us therefore be faithful. Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel. He bowed his head toward the ground and put his head between his knees, and he cried unto the Lord. Let us in these days cry to God and be faithful in the place of prayer.